Matthew chapter 5. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I appreciate and love you, family. And let's jump in the Word of God. Let's learn about Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 10 this evening. Matthew 5. Now, this is one of the first times we're going to read, besides the opening of verse number 1 and verse number 2, that we're really dealing with several verses. And so they're compiled in here. So it's not going to, it's not really going to add. We're still dealing with just one subject tonight. We're going to look at Matthew, and starting in verse number 10 of Matthew chapter 5. Would you look with me as we read the Word of God and follow along as I read? The Bible says this: "Blessed are they which are persecuted." Why are they persecuted? "For righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Verse number 11. "Blessed are ye," remember, disciples, Christian, you, saved. "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you." Revile, in our English language, means to criticize, censor, condemn, attack, inveigh against, rail against, lambast, a savage attitude, brand. "When men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely," it's lies, it's not truth. But watch what it says, the next three words: "For my sake, rejoice." What? Rejoice. Yeah. "And be exceeding glad." Very happy. Super happy. Over the top. Exuberance. "Be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." It didn't start with you, Christian. It's not new. It's not 2021. Boom. Now it's here. No. You rejoice. Because there's been many before you who have gone through verses number 10, 11, and 12. This evening I want to preach a message entitled, "Where is the blessing?" Where's the blessing? Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for just the Spirit. Lord, it is such a sweet Spirit. Father, I mean this. I feel like you have free reign in our auditorium. God, that doesn't happen all the time. But Father, I'm thankful for a church right here, right in the Indianapolis area, that is shining your light. Father, thank you, Lord, that we can come together, open up your word, as moms and dads and husbands and wives and grandparents and teenagers and young kids in here tonight, and learn about you. Father, I ask, Lord, that for just a moment, it's not thinking of others in the pew, not thinking of those who couldn't make it tonight. Not sitting here, "Oh, I can't wait to send this message to." No. For the next couple of moments, Father, help us to say, "Lord, what do I need? Lord, where do I need to change?" Father, once again, thank you. Thank you, God, for coming 2,000 years ago and giving us the life that we live now today. We love you, Savior. Your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Persecution. I want just to think about that word for just a moment. Is persecution a curse or is it a blessing? We look at the Beatitudes, especially up to this point. We see words like peacemakers and merciful and those that would hunger and thirst for righteousness. We see those type of attributes that God, who is in the form of man, giving to His 12 disciples. And that twofold application that we've seen, the application of which is to come, but then also the application for the here and the now. And we take those and we grow in those. Those attributes that ought to naturally be in or at least grow in the life of a Christian. It's those things that you are learning and I are learning and growing in. And we apply them to our lives. And you and I are growing in them, become stronger. And, And what I would say, maybe even better Christians, Christians that live this life. And we look at those words, whether it be peacemakers or whether it be the merciful or whether it be those that want more and they need more. But and we see at the end the blessing that comes from it. It's natural. It's easy. It's not really even deep and or it doesn't take a whole lot of critical thinking to get to the basis of, okay, there is a cause and there is an effect. There's this, and then when we act this way, there is a blessing that comes. But all of a sudden we come to verse number 10, it's almost like we slam on brakes. Because, I mean, blessed are the persecuted? Where's the blessing in that? We think about the word persecution. I mean, that is such a strong word. And through the eyes of humanity, we see persecution really as a terrible thing. It's not a good thing. It's not great. It's not wonderful. It's something that, to be honest with you, all of us, we try to avoid at all costs. You and I, it ought to break our hearts when we hear of a missionary or a child of God who has lost their life simply because they have professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to move you and I. Remember in our LifeSaves group several weeks ago, it was Michelle and John, and they were talking about missionary friends that they knew in China and they've gone missing and they're gone. And it breaks our heart to think that, my goodness, just because of their faith, there they are and they're gone. And we read of our missionaries in Indonesia and even in India and in several different Arab countries that they're not you and I. They're not standing up proclaiming the gospel. They're not getting out, handed out tracts. That there's definitely some harsh persecution that the underground churches still exist today. And you and I, we're not calling for it. You and I don't desire that. We pray for them. In my life, let's just be super honest tonight. We're not praying for persecution. I'm not sitting here like, oh God, I just want Satan to come and let him come and let him buffet me, or let a messenger of Satan or a zealot come and man, we need to really, God, I just want the persecution of my life. I never pray that. In fact, I've been very honest that this might be some, and that's their prerogative to preach this way, but I never pray, and to be honest, I don't try to tempt Satan. He's very powerful. He can destroy. My goodness, he's a very powerful being. And again, this is just personal, but I'm not one to stand up and, us, God, we're going to twist Satan's whiskers today and bring it on, Satan, our family can take you. Let me tell you, personally, I feel like that's foolish. I don't want that persecution. I'm not taking on that being. Good grief. My latest, yes, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Yes, we understand that God is more powerful than Satan. If you believe that, say amen. But it's still not something that you and I ought to play around with. And I'm not hoping for persecution. There are those that maybe as we approach this, they want persecution. It's weird. They desire it. They want that. Come on, bring it on. So they can, let's just put it this way. They're going to play the victim card. They're always the victim. Oh, woe is me. Oh, life is hard. Boy, I persecute. Okay, I understand that there are those that are persecuted, and then there's those that are just kind of asking for it. I saw this video on YouTube about a week and a half ago, and there was this big rally going on. And some people are driving their cars to get by, and somebody had this camera. I don't know if you've noticed, but a lot of people have cameras in their cars now, and it's facing forward. And they're stopped at a red light, and this person literally walks up. The person is stopped, and they walk up, and they throw themselves on the car, and then they throw down on the, they fall down on the ground. And, oh, you, they get up. Oh, you hit me. Oh, my head. We got, Roberto, you're in insurance. I'm sure that happens quite often. So they get their insurance claim or whatever the case may be. Now, understand, look, there's just somebody really getting legit hit by a car, and then there's those that are just asking for it. They want it. You follow me tonight? There are those that are really persecuted, and then there's those fools out there that they bring it on themselves. They're oh, I'm so persecuted. Oh, I'm this and that. You asked for it. You were in there. You threw yourself in the car and then played the victim. Oh, woe is me. No. We're talking about tonight. This is real. Again, watch now. The beatitude is a state of blessedness. It's not based upon what is happening to us at the moment. There is blessedness even through those that are going through real, real persecution. I want us to write down several things this evening. The first is this, and I will say this. We're going to have our PowerPoints back up. You pray, I'm telling you. Pray for the Williams family. They were trying to get packed up. They were trying to head, and it just so happened that all of our screens will be in. It's supposed to be this week. I think Pastor Chris is probably running around here somewhere. Well, all of our screens over here come in. And I mean, it's going to look so good. And Pastor Chris is kind of under him, and he's trying to get all of that done. And I'm like, no pressure, but pressure. Okay, man. So let's get this done and in before you head out. Everything's good and great. And we're sitting here with no. And so you pray, but very soon we're going to get back to having our PowerPoints up. So if you're taking notes this evening, here's what I want you to do. Write down, number one, the reason for persecution. The reason. Look with me at verse number 11. Watch what the Bible says. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you. Man, watch this. And shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. The reason for persecution simply is this. It's identification. Identification with the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ instead of identifying with the world. You see, the local church actually has been blessed in many ways during times of hard persecution. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean by that. The local church, you and I, Christians, we actually have been blessed in several ways when we go through times of persecution. This is how it works. You see, persecution will cause self-examination. You see, self-examination is there is persecution that is coming. And persecution for His name's sake. We're going through a difficult time. We're being made fun of. This word reviled once again. We're being branded, sometimes unfairly. We're being talked about. I can use this word even tonight. There might even be that bullying mentality that comes on a child, a teenager, a young adult, or those who have been saved for quite some time. And there is that push, there's that persecution that comes. And what happens is during that persecution is it pushes you and I to begin to examine our own selves. Why? Because what it does is you and I will begin to look at, okay, what am I being persecuted for? What am I standing on? How has my action and or reaction been towards this persecution? Is this something that is biblical? Is this something that I'm willing to die for? Is this minor? Is this major? Is this a doctrine? Is this just a mentality, a standard? Is it a principle? Watch what it begins to do is you and I will begin to study out. Okay, we're going through this persecution. We're being talked about. We're being pushed in a way. We're being maybe persecuted through social media. Whatever the case might be, we're going through this. And so what it does is it forces the Christian to go into a self-examination. Lord, search me. Try me. Know my heart. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Am I standing for something on pride? Am I standing something that maybe has nothing to do with the Word of God at all? Uh-oh. See, sometimes we may act like a victim and we're being persecuted, but we got to remember, maybe in that self-examination, we're going to say, okay, this has nothing to do with the Word of God. This is something that is personal. This is something that maybe even is prideful. Comprehend this. Persecution causes self-examination, but persecution also brings holiness. There's a separation that begins to take place. There's an understanding that, okay, I'm being persecuted, so I'm going to search. Why am I being persecuted? Well, the persecution has become, there's a separation there. Persecution causes the chaff to be separated from the wheat. There's a separation that takes place. That means this, persecution often will show those who watch now are faithful compared to those who are just playing church. Now, hold on, let's pause right here. If we have, I would believe in my lifetime, never come to a place where we have had to really determine what we are going to stand for. And are we going to just play church or are we going to be the church? Persecution, friend, look, I've said it often. I do not debate. I don't get on Facebook. I don't even post means about how I believe it. And I'm very careful because I believe that I've been called to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not a doctor. I've never told anybody you should or shouldn't get the vaccine. I don't go out and you should wear masks and you shouldn't wear masks. We have those. And both in this room, we've been vaccinated, haven't been vaccinated. You wear a mask, you don't wear a mask. You may get all up in arms and want to argue and fight. I've just decided for the Shepherd family, we're staying out of it. You do what's best for you. You have a cold, watch on live stream. You have a flu, watch on live stream. You got COVID, but quarantine. Whatever the case might be, yeah, that's between you and your doctor. It's not for me to make that decision. But I will say this. We are now seeing, listen now, this is not a political statement, but we are now seeing where this is not just about COVID anymore. We have now crossed into this area where the control has come in. Even in Indiana, you and I have to be careful. And because why? We are getting to this place where I truly believe we are pushing and pointing towards a one world government. It is going to take place. It's not Pastor Shepherd. It's not Cross Point Baptist Church. Go back and read Revelation. Where we are headed in the last days, which you and I are in, is not this goody free, we're all good, everybody do what you want, believe what you want. No, comprehend this. We are getting to a place where we can't play church anymore. We are either going to be the church or we're not going to be the church. And for all of us, again, we've got plenty of us watching right now via live stream. They can't be here. This is not against them. Bless God, you ought to be here. We have a lot of shut-ins. And our deacons know. Brother Coates, you know. They can make it. They can't be here. They can't drive at night. Okay, great. But I am going to say it this way. If we can be in church, we ought to be in church. Do not let fear keep us from serving God the next 10 years waiting for some booster shot to come out that's going to annihilate it all. Listen, take a moment and talk to a doctor. I've had my discussions with Miss Kendra and others who comprehend this is going to be around for a little while. The flu's been around for a couple years, has it not? Colds have been around. Some snotty noses have been around. You had one yourself. Comprehend. We have got to listen. We have got to grow in our faith and comprehend that now we are almost 2 years past the original. Now this whole push, especially in other countries that we're seeing, this is not, well, it's just coincidence. This is all biblical, friend. It's biblical. Well, Pastor Shepherd said, thought you said you weren't going to talk about it. I'm not talking about it. I didn't tell anybody to do anything. I'm telling us this. If I've told you anything, here's what I'm telling you. Get in the Bible and begin to read what you and I are going to face in the last days. And you and I will comprehend. This is not an accident. This book is alive, friend. It's real. It's true. It tells us the end. You ever open up a book before and you got about one chapter and you thought, is this guy going to make it or not? Or is she going to die? Or what's going to happen to you? You cheated and you went to the end of the book and you read. Well, cheat tonight, friend, and go to the end of Revelation and you'll see how it all ends. And to be honest with you, it ends really good for us. Really good. It causes the chaff to be separated from the wheat. Persecution brings about unity and love in the body. You see, the Bible says, remember the word which I have said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they also persecute you. And they have kept my saying. They will keep yours also. Watch very carefully. Persecution brings about unity in the body. Why? Because light and darkness. You and I are called to be different. We are called to be like our Savior. There's going to have to be in our lifetime. I mean this. Listen, this is not just an older generation, younger generation. This is not separating. No. For all of us, there's going to have to at some point draw a biblical line. And some are going to draw that line. And you and I are going to be hated for it. You and I are going to be hated for our stand. You and I could be persecuted. Let me put it this way. I'm not going to pause here for very long, but several times you'll see this come out. Not always has our persecution been the persecution what we're talking about. I don't know, Brother Fisher, if this is a true statement, but I would go as far to say, Pastor Foe, Brother Bruce, I don't know if anybody in this room that's ever been arrested for their faith. Now, I could be wrong, but I would just say, Brother Titus, go as far to say, I don't know personally in this room anyone who was handcuffed, put in a car because they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe in a foreign country, Brother Matthew, Miss Susan. But I'd say in this room, I'd go as far to say you'd agree with me that nobody in this room has. Okay, so when we talk about persecution this way, it's kind of easy just to daydream. Oh, yeah, it's going to come one day, but we're good, we're great, hurry up, you know, Starbucks is closing, we got to get out, and tomorrow we got to study at Cabin Coffee, and I got to make my Christmas list, and okay, like, isn't that funny that that's the world that we live in? Brother George, I have no fear tonight of anybody barging in those back doors and arresting me. The day may come, but right now, I've never feared today that somebody's going to come in those back doors and arrest me. I don't. Most of our persecution, most likely up to this point, and this is hard to say, but a lot of times it's come from other Christians. What's that, isn't it? That most of the hurt and most of the negativity and most of the false accusations, I would say, if not all 100% of the insinuations of persecution did not come from the outside world. It came from other brothers and sisters in Christ. The reviling that could come might not necessarily be from somebody that is lost and on their way to hell. It's not somebody that necessarily doesn't have that moral compass in their life. It can at times come from those who know better. They know the Lord. There is a standard that somebody has in their life, and that persecution comes from somebody making fun of that dress, music, or personal standard that's in their life. Oh, bless God. Oh, good grief, why are you? And all of a sudden that persecution comes. That persecution can come from somebody who does not understand or completely agree with a theology or a doctrine in the Word of God. And all of a sudden, they begin to condemn and come down on it and call names. All of a sudden, you're backed up and you begin to feel this persecution. And unfortunately, for those of us who are living in this Christendom of 2021 here in the United States, you and I are facing not a whole lot of persecution. I believe it will come one day from the outside world. But I believe right now what's taking place is you and I sometimes will feel it. That pressure of, do it my way. If you don't do it my way, boy, I'm just here to tell you, we don't agree on this. And man, this clash has come. I've been around long enough, and especially growing up in the south of Alabama and North Carolina, pastoring for 10 years in West Virginia. Look, the persecution has come, and to be honest with you, Brother Hildebrand, I haven't felt a whole lot of persecution from the magistrates in town or the lawyers in town, but I'm here to tell you, without a doubt, our family has faced persecution because of the beliefs of standing on the Word of God from other Christians. Do you know how hurtful it can be when somebody comes and attacks and they stand on what is not a biblical hill, but just stand on, this is our preference, and they get upset, and all of a sudden they leave a church, and they talk bad about your family, and about your preaching, and about all the ministries of the church as they make their way out. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter, old pastor or young pastor, boy, that persecution hurts in the life of a Christian. Never doctrinal. Never. We're not talking about salvation. Well, I believe now, you know, that Mary really wasn't a virgin. I don't believe that really, you know, Jesus really resurrected her. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about, you know, you unbuttoned your tie, and we didn't do that when I was young. And so, you know what? We're out of here. I'm talking about there are things as silly as that you and I can persecute each other over. Let me put it this way. We ought to, not the pastor, all of us ought to come together and say, there is no place for that at Cross Point Baptist Church. There's no room for that. So I said tonight, to all the choir members and all those who work in music, and Pastor Blake and I have been talking a lot here, as Pastor Blake will be taking on some responsibilities that Pastor Chris had. Man, as we're talking, you know what, Pastor Blake, in those conversations that you and I had, it's kind of why I reminded us tonight. You know what, somebody might miss a note. And somebody might not hit it perfect. And, And, you know, they get up there and they didn't play this just right. And they didn't hit this just right. Who are we to come down and well, I'm just sharing. No. You may sing next week. You may miss a note. You know what? You may play next week. It might not be perfect. Guess what? We're not perfect individuals. Thank you for being up there. I told Tommy tonight, Cole, I said, man, it's so good to see Cole up there on that second piano. I always make fun of Judy. I'm like, Judy, get up there on that piano and play. If nobody's up there, I like somebody on that piano. I'm like, Judy, get up there. She's like, I'm not doing it. You listen to your Patrick, get up there and say. But I saw Cole up there tonight, and I told Tommy, I said, Tommy, I can't wait for you to be up there. Now, if we recorded this evening, Cole, where'd Cole go? Raise your hand, Cole. I just saw you. Where are you at? Raise your hand. Oh, Cole. Cole, you probably did not hit every note just perfect. And we may have recorded, we may not, and we may play it later. We didn't. I'm just joking. But let's just say this. Who cares? Young man's up there playing for the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to say amen. Young people in this room, listen up for just a moment. You can hurt other people. You can hurt other teenagers by what you say. Somebody doesn't do something just like you. They don't talk just like you. They don't walk just like you. Guess what? They're not like you. It's okay. Get together on the common ground of the Bible and get the gospel out together. We live in a world, and I said it this morning, the reason I was mentioning it is because I'm doing a lot of study and going to be preaching on critical race theory on a Sunday night coming up here in the month of February and looking forward to it. But I'm going to tell you this, there ought to be no room anywhere in God's family for any type of racism. You and I have to love each other. Doesn't matter who walks in that back door. Doesn't matter if they're different nationality, different color, different. Who cares? Let's love them. Put arms around them. Sit with them. This is not a black-only church. This is not a white-only church. This is not. It's good to have Roberto here because I think you're the only Hispanic that we got here. But nonetheless, we're working on it. He's going to start a Hispanic church for us. Amen. But nonetheless, he does not like me saying that at all. But who cares? Anyways, he's already joined the church. We're good. Okay. But nonetheless, what we got? Let's get him in. Amen. Why? Because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. There should be a love and a common ground with each other. Watch this very carefully. Look what it says. We have this. We have the reason, but we also have the rejoicing. The rejoicing. What is the rejoicing? Okay. The reason is identification. The rejoicing of persecution is this. It's the association. It's we, you and I are partakers with Christ's suffering as he is touched with ours. Look at verse number 12. Rejoice. Why? And be exceeding glad. That seems just different. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they, the prophets which were before you. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 13. But rejoice in so much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering. That when his glory shall be revealed, ye might be glad also with exceeding joy. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings and infirmities. But was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let's check this out. Watch how it connects here. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Listen, it's association. Persecution can be a good thing in that you and I once again are reminded who we are standing for. Watch. Who are we standing for? Well, we're standing for, well, just our Baptist heritage. No. Well, we're standing for just a Cross Point Baptist church. Wrong. Well, we're just standing for pastor. No. Well, we're standing for the deacons, the Sunday school teacher. No. Persecution reminds you and I who we are standing for. And who we are standing for is God Almighty, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ. And Cross Point Baptist Church, listen, there is a rejoicing. Why? Because you and I, by the attacks of Satan, what it does is it brings you and I together and you and I begin to comprehend. Listen, we are all on the same team. And who you and I are standing for is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a rejoicing. There is a rejoicing and understanding that it's only him. Watch now. See, at Crosspoint Baptist Church, I say this, and again, Sunday nights, I love it because we can pause just for a moment, but I love that the Spirit is good here. And I mean that when I say it. If I didn't mean it, I wouldn't say it, but there is a great Spirit. I don't know if you've noticed, but Deb, we might have to open up a coffee on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. You know why? People are coming all the time, and everybody's standing around like coffee's going to be there, and it's not there. And my wife kind of told me tonight, you need to mention we need to have coffee. Okay, but anyways, I didn't care, but we're good, all right? Hey, put in the notes, and we're good. But you know what? After service, Dr. Shetler stood at the back. So this is Wednesday night. And he cried. He said, oh, Brother Shepherd, look at this. Yeah, I can't do his voice, but he said, oh, look at this. It's actually pretty good, I thought. He said, look at this. He said, look, up here. And everybody's practicing. The auditorium, I mean, we're talking 25, 30 minutes after church was out. We're talking probably 50 people in here. And he said, oh, Brother Shepherd, look out here, look out. And the whole coffee shop all the way through, full of people everywhere. Amen. Talking and fellowshipping and laughing and rejoicing. So, Brother Shepherd, you don't understand. That doesn't happen in churches. There's a rejoicing that you and I can come together. Amen. But know this. We have a great Spirit here, but the devil's always fighting. There is not a week that goes by that we don't have somebody that's being referred and handed over to Miss Kim for counseling. There's not a week that doesn't go by that we don't have a teenager that is doing something that they shouldn't be doing, and Pastor Blake and Miss Charlotte, praise the Lord for them, working with them. And there's not a week that doesn't hardly ever go by that somebody doesn't call and marriage counseling and falling into addictions, and this has fallen apart and this has taken place. And all the time, man, we're being buffeted. We're being hit. Every single week, it is a battle. 7 days a week. Every night, 1:30 last night, phone going off, on the phone, talking, walking this couple through. Every week, man, we're just time and time. We're battling and we're fighting and we're battling and we're fighting. Now, look, before I get you down and, oh, our poor deacons, poor. No, here's what's taking place. Is you and I have to comprehend, if that wasn't happening, we ought to be very worried. But when you take a stand like we take a stand, and when your final authority is the very word of God, and when you and I have said we are not going to major on the minor, and you and I have said we're going to get the gospel out, we're going to grow, and when you and I see now, I guess, Brother Carlson, 13 in the school that have been saved, and then two more teenagers just Wednesday night walk the aisle and head over and get saved, and people being baptized and added to the church, and people coming in, a couple today that just was invited, and their second week back today, and they said we're visiting churches all over. There is no friendlier church in this area like Cross Point Baptist Church. Let me tell you something. You and I are going to be under a microscope. We're going to have a bullseye on this, put on this steeple. Satan is going to continue to attack, and he's going to attack, and he's going to attack. So what do we do? No. We're not going to cower. We're not going to get down. We're not going to shut the doors. You and I are just going to keep charging the gates of hell, my friend. Why? Because we serve a big God, and you and I have come together, and we're a family, and we ought to be joined together, not looking backwards, not upset, not being victims. No, coming together for the very cause of Jesus Christ. And then you and I can rejoice. Why? Check it out. Because our reward is going to be great one day. We may not get our reward down here. We may not have that thank you and, oh, you're so great. We may never get the reward here. But, oh, there is rewards coming. And it's going to be incredible to be with Him. You see, you and I have to understand the identification and this association. I'm almost done this evening. There's the promise that you and I are going to have persecution. It takes place. But there is this reward. Watch in verse number 12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward. And that's not here, but it says your reward in heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Mark said, then Peter began to say to him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, watch this. There is no man that had left house, or brother, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake, and the gospels. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands with persecutions, and the world, watch now, to come in eternal life. You and I, for the sake of the gospel, listen, teenager, you may suffer persecution. You may get talked about. You just keep taking a stand. Why? Because your reward one day is going to be great. On this earth, we are talked about. I hope this evening you're not coming up, but, oh, Pastor, I'm so sorry that happened to you in West Virginia and somebody left the church. And just to be honest with you, friend, I couldn't even name their name. We have so moved on. We just keep going for the cause of Jesus Christ. People are going to hurt us and persecute us, but guess what? Great is our reward one day. Let's keep moving on for the Lord. Don't live in bitterness and live in the past. I'm telling you, most miserable people in the world are those who are living their life looking in the rearview mirror. Stop. Stop. Just let's move on for the Lord. Guess what? Persecution is going to come. If God doesn't come back very soon, I feel like one day we're going to go through some persecution. I feel like, I know you may say, it'll never happen, but Pastor Foe and others have preached for years, it's going to take place one day, and for those of us who are the naysayers, it'll never happen. It's happening now. We're seeing it in our nation. One day it's going to come. We may be told, Brother Carlson, unless you hire so-and-so that has these beliefs, then you're going to have to shut your school down. We may face that one day. Pastor Shepherd, deacons, if you say this is wrong, if you preach against abortion or homosexuality or transgender, or just that we're going to have to put locks on your doors, you're not going to be able to go. You might be arrested. It's coming, friend. So what are we going to do? Let's not sit here. Oh, my goodness, let's all get in our houses and just let's just keep spreading the gospel. Grab some tracks. Let's have a Christmas concert next week. We can't worry about it. Nowhere in the Bible are we told to prep for the Antichrist. We're supposed to look for that blessed hope, friend. Put a smile on our face. Let's just keep going. If it comes, it comes one day. Somebody bail me out. We need some more lawyers in here, okay? But nonetheless, let's just keep going for him. Persecution. Let's not be victims. Let's not jump in front of the car. Oh, I'm so hurt. They said this. They did this. Don't play victim. No, we're going to be persecuted. But have that self-examination. What are we being persecuted for? Well, the Bible puts it very clear. It's not for us. In fact, it says over and over again, it says, "For they are persecuted for righteousness. Watch out for righteousness' sake. Men will revile you and persecute you and all manner of falsely against you. Watch this, for my name's sake. Rejoice to be exceeding glad for greater reward and have a persecuted day of the prophets which were before you." Who's it for? The persecution is going to be because you and I stand for something. Stand for the word. Stand for him. Remember, not everybody is going to die on the hill that we think we would die on. Be okay. Reach out. But understand there ought to be one hill that you and I are willing to be persecuted for. And that is this, the very word of God. Stand for it. Persecution. Blessed they that are persecuted. How does that even make sense? Look, our reward may not be here. But our reward one day is coming. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.